Greetings and welcome to GESPCU, the University of All Things Guaranteed Energy Savings Performance Contracting. In this podcast, presented by the Energy Services Coalition and sponsored by the United States Department of Energy, we'll touch on some final details of the investment grade audit and its report.
As a reminder, we continue to follow the performance contracting model instruments in their guidance that have been assembled on the Energy Services Coalition website. As a wrap-up to the investment grade audit guidance, the model documents call for a written discussion of the impacts that the facilities, systems, and owners may incur after the performance contract ends. This important but sometimes overlooked matter provides considerations for the operation and maintenance requirements, staffing impacts, and ongoing responsibilities, if any, that will revert to the owner's staff at the end of the contract term.
Yeah, for most public sector projects that we've witnessed, it's customary that the maintenance and operation of the energy conservation measures is retained as the responsibility of the owner's staff. So as the end of contract time is envisioned, the explanation of impacts per ECM is but a review of what's required to continue the persistence of savings. Measures like lighting systems, chillers and boilers, HVAC, pumps, motors, even controls and control systems. Well, these are all the types of measures that most public sector's maintenance teams are quite proficient in providing the operation and ongoing attention required. As part of the contract, the project should provide the appropriate levels of training. But as for operation and maintenance, the owner's staff is likely to just continue with their O&M responsibility, only with newer devices and systems that need less repairs and more operational focus and preventative maintenance to ensure that they stand the test of time.
However, there are situations where complex systems are proposed to be installed that will require specialized skills or considerable operational time and oversight to ensure that the savings are achieved. In these cases, ESCO personnel or third-party specialty subcontractors may be hired as part of the performance contracting agreement. During the term of the performance contract, it's typical that the specialty operation or maintenance subcontractor would be hired and managed by the ESCO. In these cases, it's ever more important that the owner and ESCO thoroughly discuss and agree on all the actions that will be required by the owner at the end of the contract term. This might include the owner becoming trained and assuming the operational maintenance responsibilities of the devices in the systems. Or optionally, the owner may decide it's in their best interest to retain the specialty contractor to continue providing the O&M service. It's important that the owner is clear on all anticipated costs and impacts that may affect ongoing cost savings when making this decision.
As a part of the review and subsequent acceptance of any IGA, owners should be quite certain that they understand completely their obligations during the contract. Everyone should know clearly everyone else's roles and responsibilities, leaving nothing undocumented or to be determined later. This particular section of the IGA is designed to ensure that owners understand what will accrue to them at the end of the contract. Measure by measure, obligation by obligation, these projects should never present a surprise to anyone.
Now we turn our attention to the final component of an IGA and its report. Within the course of the iterative exchanges between the ESCO and the owner, there should have been clear and open discussion about brands of devices and systems, compatibility among each and existing systems, local support of both parts and technical resources, past history, and any challenges with providers. All the things that go into making informed and wise procurement decisions. For the sake of finalizing these expectations, this section of the IGA calls for a formal assertion that all equipment to be installed for the project is totally compatible with all the affected existing equipment. For example, the brand of automated controls. Will they completely interface and communicate with the existing system? This should extend beyond the brand to also include special versions, and other identifiers to ensure that the systems being considered will work alongside and in concert with any existing systems or controls that are planned to remain.
It's interesting that this statement of coordinated compatibility comes at the end of the IGA in its report, and that it is, of course, our hope and should be your plan that the owner and ESCO, all parties that will be participating in the project, are working hand in hand in a partnership that will result in the highest possible value for the owner.
I agree with you, Dale, but there's still good reason to reiterate here in the IGA that in the event there is a sole source directive from the owner on any brand or system, the justification to support it in the statement of compatibility is formalized in the report. In this way, present and future reviewers will easily understand the insights that guided these decisions.
If you've been following along with these podcasts, it's been quite a journey to get through the investment grade audit, and for very good reason. You've heard us walk through the steps of completing a scientific study of the who, what, when, and where of existing utility consumption. We've remarked about keeping in consideration the needs of the owner and occupants while remaining mindful that any retrofit or replacement solutions considered are required to pay for themselves in the reduction of future utility, operation, and maintenance costs. We've stressed the need for attention to detail while strongly encouraging descriptions of the engineering and math so that non-technical reviewers understand what's being presented and grow in the confidence they need to consider executing the changes recommended.
As this important process approaches its conclusion, the final steps should include meeting together and final reviewing of the work and results of the IGA and its report, making any final edits or modifications, and ultimately final acceptance of the IGA report by the owner.
Well said, John. And having said that, what we've reviewed so far is a fee-for-service study, as outlined in the ESC model documents. In our next episode, we'll turn to the project proposal that accompanies the delivery of the IGA, what it should include, and its role as we move ever closer to the implementation of the performance contract. As always, thanks for joining us, GESPCU. See you next time.